I want to start out by just saying Happy Mother's Day. It's wonderful to have so many mothers in the house today, and today's a very special occasion. So we're going to talk about something that has to do with motherhood, with parenthood. We're going to talk about honoring your parents this morning, honoring your father and your mother. And this is not something that's just for kids. It's really for something that is something for everybody who has a parent or parents who are still living. So it's for kids and for adults. It's also very, very important for you as a parent to understand this commandment. It's one of the Ten Commandments, so that you know how to teach your kids how to keep this commandment. Because in large part, your success in life is determined by your relationship with your parents. That's what the Bible teaches us. It says if you grow up honoring your parents, then you're much more likely to have a successful, happy life. If you grow up dishonoring, rebelling against your parents, you're much more likely to grow up and to have a miserable, unsuccessful life. And so this is why this commandment is so important. Kids need to be taught how to honor their parents. Parents need to be taught how to make it easier for their kids to honor them. And so we're going to take a moment this morning to look at this fifth commandment in the Ten Commandments. And we're going to come back, we're going to look this morning specifically about how do you honor your parents, whether you're a kid or whether you're an adult trying to honor your parents still. How do you honor your parents? Then we're going to look at this commandment again on Father's Day this year. And we're going to talk about why you should honor your parents, what are the benefits, that is, and as well, what parents can do to make it easier for their kids to honor them. And so let's go back to the Ten Commandments. Exodus chapter 20, verse 12. Exodus 20 is where we find the Ten Commandments. And verse 12 is where we find the fifth commandment. It says, honor your father and your mother so that you may have a long life in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. Honor your father and your mother so that you may have a long life in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. So I want to make some observations, first of all, about this command, and then we'll talk about how to do it, how to honor your parents. So a few observations. The first thing that I want to point out is that the command is to honor your parents. It's an important word that we need to understand, honor your parents. The Hebrew word for honor is kabod, kind of like crawdad, kabod. And it's spelled in English, it's transliterated with K-A-B-E-D. Doesn't look like call bad, but that's how you would pronounce it, call bad. Honor. In his book on the Ten Commandments, Mark Rooker writes that call bad means heavy. The word honor, it means heavy, weighty, severe, or important. So honoring someone or something carries the nuance of weighing down with honor or respect. It means to treat someone with the respect and deference that his position deserves. Philip Ryken writes, to honor one's parents is to give due weight to their position. It's to give them the recognition they deserve for their God-given authority. To honor is to respect, esteem, value, and prize fathers and mothers as gifts from God. One of the easiest ways to understand or to remember what the word honor means, to honor your parents, is to treat them as if they're very, very important. Treat them like they're very, very important. That's what it means to honor or respect anyone. Treat them like they're very important. Okay, number two, a second observation. Fathers, I want you to notice, are mentioned first. Fathers are mentioned first, indicating their role of leadership in the home. And it is a wonderful gift to mothers when fathers step up and take the spiritual lead in their homes and whenever they take the lead in raising the children. The New Testament says that fathers are the head of their wives, the head of their wives, the leaders of their wives, which means they are the head, the leaders of their homes. Fathers are, in this commandment, shown to be the leaders of their children. Honor your father and your mother. So fathers, something that's kind of counterculture, fathers should be involved, in fact, take the lead in child rearing and raising their kids. Now, I don't think fathers are cut out necessarily to be a homemaker, but that doesn't mean that your role as a father should be reduced to simply being a provider, a breadwinner. And that's what a lot of men think. My job is just to be a provider, to be a breadwinner, and the wife handles the kids. And that's a very ineffective way, unbiblical way to raise your family. Fathers are to take the lead in child rearing, take the lead in discipling your kids, which means teaching them to follow Jesus Christ, teaching them to be disciples of Jesus Christ. But also fathers are to take the lead in disciplining the children, in helping the wife with the children, changing diapers and getting the kids dressed and bath time, and all those things can be helped by the dad. There are very unique ways that a father and a mother both contribute to raising their children. This is why both parents are very, very important. Mothers, for example, are very nurturing. Some of you can back this up. And of course, these are generalizations, but mothers tend to be very nurturing and encouraging and comforting and sympathetic and compassionate and patient. Now, my kids, think about, you know, see if this rings true to you. And children need that because they're still growing. Their hands are little. Their little minds don't know very much yet. Their legs and arms are short. Their willpower is weak. Their muscles are small. Their wisdom is limited. Children need a mother's compassionate, patient, loving, supportive encouragement. Fathers are a little bit different. In an article in the Wall Street Journal, author Abigail Schreier wrote about this, and she said, when my 7-year-old twin boys were first learning to play piano, I would check with them regularly to see if they were still enjoying it. Finally, their teacher, a Russian woman, who was evidently unfamiliar with fashionable theories of child rearing, told me that if I wanted my kids to learn an instrument, I needed to cut it out. Some weeks, said the Russian teacher, they won't like it. So what? Stop asking. Can you imagine asking your kids before you send them off to school? You still like school? You still enjoying that mathematics? No, you know that they need school, and so you send them whether they like it or not. That's what this Russian piano teacher is getting to, and that's really more of a dad's style of parenting. She was describing her style of parenting as typical of mothers. Very compassionate, very sympathetic, encouraging, nurturing. It errs on the side of being a little too soft. And both sides, by the way, fathers and mothers can err. She goes on to write that this is the reason why children need both a father and a mother. While mothers are soft and nurturing, dads are rough and challenging. She summed up the typical father's approach to parenting like this. Knock it off. Shake it off. Knock it off. Shake it off. And she writes about that statement, knock it off. She said, when a dad-style parent says knock it off, it's the child's job to figure out the precise behaviors from which to desist. Accepting the definitive knowledge of what and why might never come. The pestering touch of persons and things, drumming of fingers and clicking of tongues, whinings. Each on its own might not be grounds for punishment, but together they can drive an adult to madness all the same. Discipline socializes children, she says. They become tolerable to those who didn't already love them. Then she wrote more about that statement, shake it off. She says, children need to be told that when they experience a minor fall, a minor unserious injury, when they have a disappointment, they need to shake it off, move on. They need to keep playing. They need to keep moving. Knock it off, shake it off. And this is one of the things that fathers bring to the table without trying. Men, fathers, you don't need to try to be a knock it off, shake it off. That just comes naturally. You probably need to try to be a little softer. But the fact that fathers are mentioned first, honor your father and your mother, it also means that ultimately it's fathers who are going to be held responsible for the upbringing of their children. And so your children are going to grow up, and they're going to have to make their own decisions. But don't let that be a cop-out and say, well, kids have to make their own decisions. Yes, but you will be held accountable for whether or not you did everything you could have done to train your children up in the way they should go. Here's number 3, a third observation. Mothers must be honored too. mothers must be honored too. Honor your father and your mother, which was very unique in that time of the world, that time of history, where women were seen as essentially the property of the man. Yet, according to the Bible and biblical ethics, the Bible tells children, and and this means your whole life, because you'll always be your mother's child, to honor not just your father, not just the patriarch, but also to honor your mother. The father and the mother work together as a team. This is a reminder when it says honor your father and your mother that mothers and fathers need to learn to agree on their values and on their parenting style with the kids. There's no way that a child can honor his father and mother if the father and mother are placing conflicting demands on the child, right? So you might have a mother who says, stop using that word. Stop saying that word. But then the kid hears the dad use it all the time. Dad doesn't care about it. It's very difficult for a kid to honor his mother in that instance. So fathers and mothers need to agree, need to come together. Number four, fourth observation, the fifth commandment rules out same-sex parenting. Honor your father and your mother, not your father and father, not your mother and your mother. The LGBTQ advocates today would have us believe that same-sex parenting is just as good as biblical parenting, a traditional parenting of a father and a mother. Simply not true. The model family is a loving marriage between a father and a mother, husband and wife, who are working together to raise their kids. The Bible describes marriage like this in Genesis 2:24, when it describes the very first couple, it says, this is why a man leaves his father and mother and bonds with his wife, and they become one flesh. Proverbs 6:20 says, my son, keep your father's command and don't reject your mother's teaching. You need both. You need a father and a mother. We just talked about the unique things that a father and a mother bring to the table. And that's why children need those. You need the strengths of a mother and the strengths of a father that they bring together. This implies as well that single parenthood is not God's ideal. Now, of course, there are a lot of Christian single parents out there who know this and who would rather not be in that position, and we sympathize with them. But the world would have you believe that it's okay to have sex and have children out of wedlock, that you can do just fine raising a kid by yourself, and that's simply not true. Your kids will have all kinds of challenges and difficulties because of that. And the world would say, divorce is no big deal. You can raise kids by yourself. And we looked at that last week a little bit about how there are so many devastating effects of divorce on children. You need a father and a mother in a loving relationship raising those children together. Honor your father and your mother. A fifth observation is that this is the first of the social commandments. As we're looking at the Ten Commandments here, remember that the Ten Commandments, you may not have realized this, are can be divided into two sections, or two tables, if you will. The first four commandments have to do with your relationship with God. They're vertical. And then the last six of the Ten Commandments have to do with your relationship with one another, social relationship, spiritual relationship, and then your social relationships. And so the first four are about loving God, the last six are about loving one another. And what's interesting is that the first of the social commandments, even before don't commit murder, don't steal, don't commit adultery, the first of the social commandments is honor your father and your mother. That tells us something about the importance of this relationship. And I think the reason is because your very first relationship in life is your relationship with your parents. Even before your relationship with God, you have your relationship with parents. And this implies that parents, it's your job to teach your kids the commandments. Kids, your job is to honor your parents. And then parents, if you're teaching your kids the commandments, teaching them how to love others and how to love God, they're going to grow up keeping the commandments. And so it's so important. This relationship is so important. Number six, the sixth observation. The fifth commandment is unconditional. It's unconditional. So kids, this is very important. There's no condition attached to this. It doesn't say honor your father and mother if they are honorable, if they are worthy of honor, if they are respectable, if they are good to you, if they're good people. It's not the way it works. You know, husbands are expected to love their wives unconditionally. Wives are expected to respect their husbands unconditionally. Parents are to love and care for their children unconditionally. Parents, we don't just love our kids when they deserve it. We love them unconditionally. In the same way, children are expected to honor their parents unconditionally, whether they deserve it or not. Think of it like the military. In the military, you're taught to respect and salute what? The office or the uniform. Salute, respect the uniform, the office. So you're not necessarily respecting your superior officer because you really respect him, because he's honorable, because he's respectable, because he's a good officer, a good leader. No, you're respecting him because of his rank, because of his position and authority over you. And so as children, we honor our parents because of the God-given position that they have to care for us and to be an authority over us. We honor their position. And then number seven, a seventh observation, the fifth commandment has no age limit. It has no age limit. If you notice back in the Ten Commandments, it doesn't say honor your father and mother until you reach a certain age. Honor your parents until you graduate high school. Honor your parents until you move out of the house. Honor the parents and your parents until you become a teenager. It doesn't say that. It's because it's meant to be unconditional. Mark Driscoll said, "You are a child for a little while, but you are someone's child forever." And so you will always be expected to honor your parents. Now, the way that you honor your parents changes over time. We'll get to that in just a moment. But the duty to honor remains constant. No matter what season of life you're in, no matter what season of life they're in, you're required to honor your parents for the rest of your life and theirs. An eighth observation, God takes the fifth commandment very seriously. This is the last observation I wanted to make. I want you to notice how serious this commandment is to the Lord. Exodus 21:17 says, "Whoever curses his father or his mother must be put to death." Deuteronomy 27:16 says, "The one who dishonors his father or mother is cursed." And all the people will say, "Amen." Deuteronomy 21:18-21 says, "If a man has a stubborn and rebellious son who does not obey his father or mother and doesn't listen to them even after they discipline him, his father and mother are to take hold of him and bring him to the elders of his city, to the gate of his hometown. They will say to the elders of his city, 'This son of ours is stubborn and rebellious. He doesn't obey us. He's a glutton and a drunkard.' Then all the men of his city will stone him to death. You must purge the evil from you, and all Israel will hear and be afraid." Now, this was in national theocratic Israel. This particular law doesn't apply to us today. But it just shows the heart of God. It shows the severity of dishonoring your parents, and that when you've got an entire generation that aren't taught the seriousness of honoring your parents, that it can destroy a nation. It can destroy a community. And so it was very important. We've got to teach our kids to honor our kids. Same is true today. We've got to teach our kids to honor their parents, or it can destroy the whole fabric of society. So let's talk about how to do it. How do you honor your parents? The first thing, if you're taking notes, is to obey them. You honor your parents by obeying them, by obedience. Colossians 3:20 says, "Children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord." Ephesians 6:1, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, because this is right." The Puritan Thomas Watson said, "A child should be the parent's echo. When the father speaks, the child should echo back in obedience." I like that. So what is proper obedience? So all you kids, listen up for a second. What does proper obedience look like? The Bible says obey your parents. What does that actually mean? It means, first of all, obedience must be immediate. It must be immediate. Delayed obedience is disobedience. You've heard me say that before. Delayed obedience is disobedience. Listen and obey, do it right away. So when your parents tell you to do something, give you a direct order, you don't do it when you feel like doing it. You don't do it whenever you get to a good stopping point in the movie or in the video game. You stop what you're doing immediately and you hop to it. I've used the illustration before of the telephone when my kids were younger. When the telephone would ring, they would get so excited. And so they would all six just drop what they're doing, jump up immediately, and run to see who's calling on the telephone. And so I said, man, that's what obedience is supposed to look like. When your mom or dad tell you to do something, you drop what you're doing, you jump up, and you spring into action. So obedience should be immediate. Second, obedience must be respectful. Disrespectful obedience is disobedience. So when you obey, obey with a good attitude. Don't complain or argue with your parents when they give you an order. When should you obey your parents? You obey your parents when they give you a direct order. So usually you can tell when your parents are giving you an order or a suggestion. If you're not sure, you can just ask. Say, is that a direct order? But when they give you a direct order, you must obey. As well, you're to obey even when you don't want to. Your duty is to obey your parents' commands even whenever you don't feel like it. If your parents order you to turn the TV off and you don't want to, you do it anyway. They tell you to clean your room and you don't feel like it, you do it anyway. You also need to obey your parents when you disagree. So if your dad is telling you to go weed eat, and then he tells you, this is how I want you to weed eat the yard, this particular way. I want you to start from here, go there, and this is how I want you to do it. It doesn't matter whether or not you like his particular way of weed eating. If he's telling you this is the way to do it, then you obey. That's what it means to obey authority. As well, you also obey your parents as long as they don't command you to disobey God. The only time that you go against your parents' orders is whenever they're commanding you to dishonor or disobey the Lord. In that case, you very respectfully tell your parents, I love you, I respect you, I always want to do what you tell me to do. But in this case, God comes first. You're telling me to do something that violates God's commands and God's will for my life, and so I have to go with God rather than you. All right, number two, how to honor your parents. You obey them, and number two, you respect them. You respect them. Remember we talked about the meaning of the word honor earlier? It means respect. So honoring your parents goes well beyond obedience. Treat your parents like they're important and valuable. Leviticus 19:3 says, each of you is to respect his mother and father. How do you respect your parents? What does that look like in day-to-day life? First of all, you respect them with your attitude. Don't complain. Don't argue. Philippians 2:14, this is one that you might want to have printed and put on the wall in the living room, parents. Do everything without complaining and arguing. Don't give your parents the evil eye or the cold shoulder. Don't roll your eyes. Don't make the tsk sound or the frustrated sigh sound. Your parents tell you, take out the trash. That's not respectful in attitude. Respect them also with your body language. Leviticus 19:32 says, you are to rise in the presence of the elderly and honor the old. Fear your God, I am the Lord. So honor your parents with your body language. King Solomon exemplified this with his mother Bathsheba. 1 Kings 2:19, look at this verse. It says, so Bathsheba went to King Solomon, so mother went to her son, the king, to speak to him about Adonijah. The king stood up to greet her, bowed to her, sat down on his throne, and had a throne placed for the king's mother. So she sat down at his right hand. So he was honoring his mother with his body language. Let everything about your body language communicate respect for your parents. For example, eye contact when they're speaking to you. As well, you can respect your parents with your words. So your attitude, your body language, and perhaps most importantly, with your words. Proverbs 20:20 says, whoever curses his father or mother, his lamp will go out in deep darkness. That means he will die. So don't say anything disrespectful to your parents or about them behind their back. Always show respect with your words. Don't raise your voice and holler and scream at your parents. Don't use words that are offensive to them. You know, every parent has a different list of words that they don't like. And so at the risk of being a little crass, if your mom says she doesn't like the word sucks, everybody says that these days, this sucks and that sucks. And your mom says, I don't like that word. I know my wife doesn't like that word. I don't either. So she says, don't use that word. Well, it's not really a curse word. Everybody says it's just slang. Yeah, but I don't like that word. I know my mom doesn't like that word either. And you say, Mom, the Bible doesn't say you can't say sucks. Well, the Bible does say don't use profanity. It says don't use dirty language. You say, yeah, but it doesn't say that word specifically. Well, the way you respect your parents is if there's particular words that are offensive to them that they don't like, well, you just don't use them. You can also respect your parents by respecting their responsibility to discipline you. Respect their responsibility to discipline you. Proverbs 15:5 says, a fool despises his father's discipline, but a person who accepts correction is sensible. Don't despise, don't resent your parents' discipline. Did you know that the Bible commands your parents to discipline you, to correct you, to spank you, to rebuke you? And so don't get mad at them. If your parents failed to diligently discipline you, then they're being disobedient to God and doing you a disservice. And so when you're doing something foolish, idiotic, or sinful, and your dad says, stop that, don't do that, don't act like that, don't talk like that, that's foolish, well, don't give him the evil eye. He's doing what he's supposed to do. And whenever you deliberately disobey your parents and they have to spank you or ground you or take something away from you, they're just doing what God has told them to do. So don't resent them. Don't despise that God has told them to discipline you and they're doing what God has told them to do. One more way you can respect your parents is by not harming them. Not harming them. This one's hard for me because it's one that I wouldn't even think of to put in a sermon. But I know there are a lot of people that come from families where physical violence is a part of the tradition. It's like your grandpa was physically violent, your dad was physically violent, now you're prone to be physically violent or whatever. But people come from those types of families and that type of culture, but you should never harm your parents. You should never steal from them, and you should never be physically violent. You should never shove or hit or throw anything at your parents. Proverbs 28:24 says, the one who robs his father or mother and says, that's no sin, is a companion to a person who destroys. Exodus 21:15 says, whoever strikes or hits his father or his mother must be put to death. Here's a third way to honor your parents. Strive to please them. Strive to please them. Strive to make them proud. Strive to make them happy. Don't intentionally do things that would upset them or that would make them worry about you. Don't disappoint them. Sometimes, again, you have to. Whenever you have to go with God's will rather than your parents' will, whenever they conflict. But honor your parents by striving to please them. Proverbs 10:1. It says, a wise son brings joy to his father, but a foolish son heartache to his mother. Don't do anything that would bring heartache to your mother. Leviticus 19:3 says, you shall fear every man his mother and his father. It actually says to fear your parents. What does that mean? Well, Philip Johnson, a preacher, he says there is a proper fear of parents. It's not a craven fear. It's an awe and admiration, a healthy respect whereby we fear their displeasure. It is deeply caring about pleasing them. We tremble at the thought of dishonoring them. So we should care. Really, that's one of the ways of thinking about the fear of the Lord. It's not that you fear God's going to throw you into hell. Once you're saved, you're always saved. But it's more or less the fear. You love him. You care deeply about Jesus. And you fear displeasing him and dishonoring him and doing anything that would thwart his plan for the world and his plan for your family. Strive to please your parents. You should care about what your parents think. You should care about how your parents feel about you and your choices. You shouldn't have the mentality, well, I don't care what my parents think. This is my life. I'm going to do what I want to do. That's dishonoring. Proverbs 23:25 says, let your father and mother have joy, and let her who gave birth to you rejoice. I have a friend who was raised in a devout Roman Catholic home, and he's now in his 60s. But he got saved, got born again, and stopped going to Catholic church, started going to Baptist church, and was doing that for years. And his mother and father were devout Roman Catholic, and he never told his parents that he had converted from Roman Catholicism to Protestant, to Baptist. And the reason why is because he was terrified of devastating his parents. They would be so heartbroken. They would think he's going to hell. It would just tear them up. Now, I don't agree with necessarily his method, with his decision to not tell his parents that. I think that's something you should probably tell your parents. When you change your religion, that's something they would want to know. They wouldn't want you to change your religion, but they would want to know. So I don't necessarily agree with his decision not to tell his parents, but I agree with his attitude, with his mentality. He didn't want to break his parents' hearts. So strive to please them. Here's another one. Number four, how to honor your parents. Be honest and open with them. Be honest and open with them. Two ways that many people dishonor their parents is by lying to them or not being open, not letting them in. Many kids live double lives. They live one way in front of their parents, and then behind their parents' back, when they're with their friends or with their coworkers, they're a completely different person. It's kind of like some people come to church, they're a completely different person than when they leave church. Some kids are like that. It's not right. God has given your parents the responsibility of taking care of, and they can't do that unless they know you. They need to know who you are, what you're going through, what you're thinking, the way you're leaning, what you're struggling with. Erwin Lutzer tells the story of how farmers used to place duck eggs under a hen that was sitting on eggs. And she wouldn't know any difference between the duck eggs and the hen eggs, and so she would just sit on the eggs, and when they hatched, she would treat them just like they were one of her own little chicks. Eventually, those little ducklings would come to the pond or something, and they would jump in the water and just start swimming. And the chicken mother, she would go crazy, thinking they shouldn't be jumping in the water. They're going to die. She didn't know her chicks very well. And a lot of parents are like that. They have no idea about their kids, what you're going through, what you're thinking, because you're not being open with your parents. You're not telling them things. So let them into your world. Ephesians 4:25 says, therefore, putting away lying, speak the truth, each one to his neighbor, because we are members of one another. The great Methodist leaders, John and Charles Wesley, their mother, Susanna Wesley, she had, I think, 21 children. And she has an amazing story. A lot of neat things about her. But one of the things that she told her kids, and I'm not necessarily saying you need to follow this pattern, but she told her kids, when you do something wrong, if you tell me the truth, I'm not going to discipline you. But if you lie and I find out, that's when you're going to get disciplined. But she wanted to teach her kids the value of being open and honest with their parents. Something to think about. Number five, how to honor your parents. Make them a priority in your life. Make them a priority in your life. This is especially true for those of us who are adults. We're adult children. Many kids essentially abandon their parents whenever they grow up. They graduate from high school, they go on to college, and they say goodbye, and they never look back. They essentially abandon their parents. They don't call. They don't answer the phone. They don't visit. They don't spend quality time with their parents. They don't celebrate their parents' birthdays or anniversaries. They don't even visit on the holidays. I know a husband and wife. They're a mother and a father. They raised two boys, did their very best with them, did a good job. And one of them, he has moved away, he and his family, and has just essentially broken off all contact with his mother and father and just breaks their hearts. And it's more or less a sense, a case of not spite, but just selfishness, just carelessness, just, I don't have time for my parents. And it just breaks their heart. So they don't have a relationship with their son. They don't have a relationship with those grandkids. And so you got to make your parents a priority in your life. Your parents want to enjoy you. They want to do life with you. They want your friendship as you grow older. They want your companionship. They want to share life with you. They want to be involved in your life. I tell people, my advice, this is not from the Lord, but my advice is you shouldn't move away from your parents unless God is really calling you to. I think one of the ways to honor your parents and one of the best things for your parents, one of the best ways that you can care for them as they grow older, one of the best ways that they can be involved in the lives of your kids, which is important for your kids. Don't move away from your parents. Don't move away from that extended family. That's not God's plan. The best thing for your family, stay close by. Now, if God is specifically calling you away, yes, but you give up so much, you lose so much, and you steal so much from your aging parents when you do that. Something to think about. I really want you to pray about that. Your parents want you to call and to visit often. They want to celebrate holidays and birthdays with you and the grandkids and special occasions, and they deserve that. That's a parental right. And so I would advise you, if you want to honor your parents, don't just include them in your life. Make them a priority. Make them a priority. So you've got a lot of different relationships in your life. Your parents shouldn't be at the bottom or even at the middle. Your parents should be at the top. Number six, here's a sixth way to honor your parents, is to seek their counsel. Seek their counsel. So when you move out, you no longer have to obey your parents. When you grow up, become an adult, you move out, you're on your own, you're paying your own bills, and you've got your own family, you're no longer under their authority, but you still have to honor your parents. And one of the ways you can do that is by seeking their counsel. When you make big decisions, for example, the choice of a mate, the choice of a spouse, choosing a college or a major in college. Two big reasons, guys, as you're growing up, kids, as you're growing up, two big reasons to include your parents in the decision of who you're going to marry. First of all, your parents are much smarter than you. Not necessarily their IQ, but their EQ, their experience quotient. Your parents have infinitely more experience, life experience than you. They've seen a lot, they've done a lot, they've made a lot of mistakes. And so when it comes to the choice of your mate, which is probably the most important decision you'll ever make, other than the decision to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you want to get your parents' insight. They love you. They want what's best for you. Include them in that decision. If your parents strongly disapprove of the person that you think you want to marry, that's huge red flags. It's very likely that person's not right for you. I remember one of my brothers, my oldest brother, he brought a girl home, not to get my parents' blessing, but to pretty much announce, this is the woman I'm going to marry. Get over it. Get used to the idea. And my mom and dad knew this young woman. They knew her family, and they were strongly against it. They said, no, not good, not a good decision. Well, he moved on despite their disapproval, and that marriage ended in divorce. It didn't work out. He should have listened to his parents. Another reason why you want to include your parents in the decision of who to marry is that your spouse is going to be your parents' son-in-law or daughter-in-law. It's going to be, you know, your spouse is really the only family member that you get to choose, but not your parents. When you choose a spouse, you're kind of forcing that family member on them. And so this is the person they're going to be spending a lot of time with. It's going to have a lot of control and influence over their lives and over the lives of their child, over the lives of their grandchildren. Let your parents have a say. At least let them have a voice into who you're going to marry. This is one of the things that Lydia and I did right. as a result of some counsel that we were given. You know, Lydia and I, we didn't even date without our parents' permission. It was a decision we made up front. We said, when we find the person that we want to date, that we're interested in, we're going to get our parents' permission. And so I met Lydia. We became friends. I became interested in her, and I said, well, I want to date this girl. And, of course, well, I'll tell you that later. I waited until I was ready to get married before I even started dating. Otherwise, you're just wasting your time and your attention when you should be focusing on things that you can only focus on when you're single. But I was ready for marriage, and I was starting to look around, and I saw Lydia. And so I went and talked to my parents first. This is, again, just to date. I said, what do y'all think of Lydia? They knew her because she was a member of the church. She was involved in church, and they knew her, and they said, we like her. I said, what do you think about me dating her? We like that. So then, me and my parents drove all the way 2 hours to DeRidder so that I could meet her parents, sit down with them, and say, hi, I would like to date your daughter. Now, her dad was like, what? This is weird. You know, this doesn't make sense. But he was honored. He was honored. And so they said yes. 5 weeks later, I went back to DeRidder and said, I would like to marry your daughter. And then 6 months later, we got married. But at our wedding, we did something different. Instead of doing bridesmaids and groomsmen, which is cool, but we did something different because we wanted to honor our parents in a special way. And so instead of bridesmaids and groomsmen, I put two chairs behind me, two chairs behind Lydia. And behind Lydia, that's where her mom and dad sat. And right behind me, that's where my parents sat. Because the idea is that our parents had given their blessing on this union, and they were now getting a new daughter, my parents, and Lydia's parents were now getting a new son. And so we really wanted to honor our parents in that decision. Okay, here's number 7, how to honor your parents. Let them enjoy their grandchildren. Let them enjoy their grandchildren. This is for us adult kids. Proverbs 17:6 says, grandchildren are the crown of the elderly, and the pride of children is their fathers. Let the grandparents enjoy their grandchildren. I've seen people refuse to let their parents enjoy their grandkids out of spite. They get mad. Well, I'm not letting you watch the kids anymore. Man, that is so evil. It is so cruel. Heartbreaking. Family is one of the greatest blessings of life. Marriage and children and grandchildren and grandparents. It's just absolutely cruel to keep them away from their grandparents. But it's also cruel to the children. I think it's God's design for grandparents to have a big influence, to play a big role in the upbringing of children. Now, grandparents are not parents, but they can come along and do a lot of support. I just love... We have some traditions in our house where every Thursday afternoon after school, we just send our kids to my parents' house, and they spend the whole afternoon there. And my dad teaches the boys woodworking, and my mom teaches the girls how to sew. And a lot of times they don't do anything productive. They just hang out and play and have a good time. But I just love that because my parents are reinforcing all of the values that we're instilling in our children all week long. And they're teaching them how to follow Christ, and they're giving them those good examples to follow. And then on Sunday afternoon, every Sunday afternoon, our tradition, if we're not doing something for church, is we go home, we have lunch, take a little nap, and then we go to my parents' house and just spend all afternoon, have dinner together, and we just let my parents enjoy their grandkids. Number 8, how to honor your parents, care for them in their old age. Care for them in their old age. According to the Bible, it's the responsibility of kids and grandkids to take care of the elderly. It's not the responsibility of the government, and it's not the responsibility of the church. And it's good for the church and for the government to provide a safety net for those what should be rare situations in which there are no kids, no grandkids. But the biblical pattern is for kids and grandkids to do that. Philosopher Jane English wrote this. This is more of the modern mindset. What do grown children owe their parents? I will contend that the answer is nothing. We have learned mutuality, you know, in our enlightened state. We have learned mutuality. We have learned that the responsibility of the parents should earn the friendship of their children. And parents who do not earn the friendship of their children deserve no mutuality. And I would say that's unbiblical. Whether or not you think your parents deserve it or not, you're commanded to honor them in their old age by taking care of them. Pastor Erwin Lutzer, he's the retired pastor of Moody Bible Church. You've heard of him probably on the radio. But he went to a nursing home one time, and he asked the director how many of the residents had relatives or friends that visited with some degree of regularity. And the director said 30%. 70% of the people in the nursing home had no one. That's a sin, a national sin. 1 Timothy 5, 3 through 4, it says this, and think about this as a child with adult parent, or as an adult child with elderly parents. Support widows who are genuinely in need, but if any widow has children or grandchildren, let them learn to practice godliness toward their own family first and to repay their parents, for this pleases God. But if anyone does not provide for his own family, if you don't take care of your own parents and grandparents, who is especially for his own household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. If any believing woman has widows in her family, let her help them. Let the church not be burdened so that it can help widows in genuine need, those who are genuinely all alone. So hopefully as your parents age and can no longer take care of themselves, they can live with you. This is usually what elderly people would prefer rather than a nursing home. But if such a situation arises where they have to be put into a nursing home, you should be the most frequent visitor. You should be there as much or more than anybody else, visiting them, taking care of them, spending time with them. Number 9, how to honor your parents. Be a fully devoted follower of Jesus. Be a fully devoted follower of Jesus. This is the most important way to honor your parents, because the more devoted you are to Jesus, the better you'll treat your parents, your grandparents. If you're a fully devoted follower of Christ, then your parents will have the peace of knowing that you're raising their grandparents in a godly way, and also that you're going to spend eternity in heaven. And I think for a Christian parent, there's nothing we want more than to know that our kids are following Jesus and are going to heaven. And so if you can give your parents that, give them the peace of mind of knowing that I love Jesus and I'm raising your grandkids to follow Jesus, and we're all going to heaven together. There's just nothing better that you can give them. Proverbs 23:24 says, the father of a righteous son will rejoice greatly, and one who fathers a wise son will delight in him. Number 10, one more thing. How to honor your parents. Treat them the way you would want to be treated. If all else fails and you're not sure how to treat your parents and how to honor them and what that looks like, remember the golden rule. Matthew 7:12, therefore, whatever you want others to do for you, do also the same for them, for this is the law and the prophets. Just treat your parents the way you would want to be treated if you were a parent. I like how the ancient Heidelberg Catechism puts it. It says, what is God's will for you in the fifth commandment? That I honor, love, and be loyal to my father and mother, that I submit myself with proper obedience to all their good teaching and discipline, and also that I be patient with their failings, for through them God chooses to rule us. So a few questions as we close for reflection. Kids, I want you to think about these. Number 1, does your relationship with your father and mother bring glory to God? Do you ever talk back to your parents? Do you ever hide anything from them? Do you ever silently curse them? Do you speak well of your parents? Are you taking the time to strengthen your relationship with them? Are you giving them the care they need and the honor they deserve for their position in your life? Thank God for mothers. Thank God for our parents. Let's honor them. Why don't y'all stand with me? We're going to pray, and then we're going to close in just a short little praise chorus. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you so much for the mothers in our lives. We pray, Father, that you would bless them on this special day. Help them to feel loved and honored. Help us, Lord, to grow in honoring our parents, both our fathers and our mothers. Help the kids in our church to honor their parents with obedience, respectful obedience. Help us as adults who have older parents, help us, Lord, to honor them by spending time with them, taking care of them. We pray, Lord, just for close, healthy family units in our church, peaceful homes. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.